This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
I had this realization that, you know, I owned a business, but really my business owned me. You know, I really had just created a job and I really wanted to travel the world. I wanted to have more time with my family. You know, I wanted that lifestyle that everybody, you know, talks about and dreams of. And I was like, how do I get it? You know, and I had read that little purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Claire, have you read the book?
Yeah. Right? It's like the Bible, right?
It is the Bible. I had read that little purple book and I was like, passive income. That's what I want, passive income. And I literally started Googling passive income. And, you know, there were a lot of things that came up, you know, royalties came up, you know, but real estate consistently came up.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product, and this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team. Listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handyman, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another Women Wednesdays. We have Deborah Razzo. She is someone who is focused on self-development, real estate education. She does flipping, educating women through her women's group, entrepreneurship, financial literacy. She has control over 7 million in assets. And it was just a really cool episode learning about her background, her self-development, and moving to a life that she truly loves to live. So super excited for you to listen to this one and hope everyone's having a great day. Without any further ado, Deborah Razzo. All right. We have Deborah Razzo on the podcast for our Wednesday. It is June 2nd, everyone. I've not been outside yet, but it's nice and sunny here in New York City here. Deborah is we're on the opposite ends. Deborah's in Los Angeles. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing just great. Yeah, you've got a preview of the day. Mine is just starting. You're already into it. I'm just having my first cup of coffee here.
I know. It's like a different world where it's like, I feel like my day is half over almost.
I know,
And you're right? Just starting.
Let me know. How's it going?
So far, I'm alive. So we're good. We're good there. Good. Well, thank you again so much for hopping on. And I know it's early there, but thank you for getting on here with me here. Sure. I'd love to just kind of start from the beginning. Who is Deborah Razzo? Who are you? Tell us about your real estate background and and then we'll kind of dive into your first deal of how it all started.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think like a lot of people, I think my getting into real estate was out of my not wanting to keep my life where it was. you know? And I'll just give you a little background on that. I have been an entrepreneur for many, many years. I've had several different businesses. And about a little over 10 years ago, I was in a really bad car accident, right? And I had, you know, what some people coined the phrase as the opportunity to start over, right? And I know there's a lot of people that get those opportunities, you know, and sometimes it's a car accident, sometimes it's a divorce, sometimes it's the death of a loved one. I think there probably are a lot of people that have looked at that opportunity going through COVID, you know, like, okay, my life is not where I want it to be and I need to change it. And that's what this car accident did for me. I had this realization that, you know, I owned a business, but really my business owned me. You know, I really had just created a job and I really wanted to travel the world. I wanted to have more time with my family. You know, I wanted that lifestyle that everybody, you know, talks about and dreams of. And I was like, how do I get it? You know, and I had read that little purple book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Claire, have you read the book?
Yeah. Right? It's like the Bible, right?
It is the Bible. I had read that little purple book and I was like, passive income. That's what I want, passive income. And I literally started Googling passive income. And, you know, there were a lot of things that came up, you know, royalties came up, you know, but real estate consistently came up. And it took me a little over a year to heal. I had a lot of time to think really about, you know, what kind of life I wanted. And once I was healed, I was like, okay, I want to start learning about real estate. And that's what I did. I started learning. And because I had gone through so much medical stuff, I didn't have much money, you know? And I think there's a lot of people out there, and I was one of them that thinks, you know, you got to have money to get into real estate. And I just want to say, I'm living proof. It's not true.
She's here, everyone. You heard it here first. I'm kidding.
You know, it's that old saying where there's a will, there's a way, right?
Right.
So I had a will and I was just like, no, I'm not going to go back to the life I had. I want to go forward into a different life. And I had actually borrowed some money because I had met some people who had told me I needed to form an investment philosophy. And I was like, I don't even know what those two words mean together. Like, what is an investment philosophy? and I'm like, I don't know, but they tell me I need to get one. Anyway, so.
What is this?
Yeah, I thought, you know what it is? It's just a plan, right? It's a plan to get from point A to point B, right? Like it's a plan for get to LA to New York. Right? You're in New York, I'm in LA. There's all kinds of ways to get there, right? And you have to be specific. Like, I don't know where you are in New York, but I'm in Burbank, California. You're in, I don't know, somewhere else, you know, Manhattan. Let's put you in Manhattan.
I'm in West Village.
Yeah, in the West Village. Okay. So, you know, there's a definite route, right? And that's your investment philosophy. You know, what's your route? What's your route going to be? And I didn't have any capital. And so I was like, well, I'm going to need to do something to make capital. And then I want to reinvest the capital for cash flow, right? Because that's what I wanted. That's the, you know, the Kiyosaki way. I wanted the cash flow, I wanted the passive income, but I needed some capital to get the passive income. So I started flipping houses. I borrowed some money from my brother. And I met a mentor and I partnered with him and we flipped our first house and I was able to pay, you know, give myself some money and then buy my first buy and hold. And because I'm in LA and because you're in New York, there is not a lot of cash flowing properties there, right?
No.
So I had to once again step out of my comfort zone and find some place that I could invest and get a good return on my money. And I ended up finding Memphis. And, you know, Memphis is a good market. There's a lot of Midwestern markets, Memphis, Indy, Kansas City, that, you know, have some good cash flow opportunities. But I settled, I liked Memphis and I went into Memphis. And that was my routine for a while. Flipping, 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 buying, buying, flipping, buying, flipping, buying. And, your skills get better, right? Your skills get better. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I can buy foreclosures in Memphis. And, you know, and I didn't buy anything that needed so much work that I had to be there a lot, but I had some flipping skills now. So I could go in and just do carpets and paints and, you know, not, I didn't want to take on anything that was moving walls or anything, but I was getting a deeper discount on the actual purchase price. So I was making a better margin on my returns. And so I started doing that. And, you know, that just evolved into, you know, more and more. And so now I've actually just finished my first two developments here in Los Angeles. I took single family houses and knocked them down and built fourplexes on them. And along the way, about 5 years ago, I was really looking for some other women to identify with. And so I started the Women's Real Estate Network, which is REN. And it's a bunch of women real estate investors, and we encourage and support each other and share resources together. And it's not necessarily any one kind of investor. We have flippers, we have builders, we have buy and hold people, we have people doing BRRRR, we have two women that own like 16 storage units across the US, you know, note buyers, all kinds of different women. But, you know, we do business a little differently, and it's great to have the support out there of other women that are kind of kicking butt and making you realize you could do it too. And I needed that. And so I started to build it. And then apparently other women need it too, because we are in a lot of different, we're national now. Well, with COVID, we're national now. So it's pretty cool.
Wonderful. Well, I love your story. I love your energy. So girl boss, right? Empowering other women. Yes. And I love everything that you've done. It's so common. I have, I started with a real estate mentor, Jonathan Farber, so co-host of the podcast. And it really, surrounding yourself around people who are doing it and are successful really guides you to expedite, you know, your success with real estate. So it's very common, you know, that you reached out to a mentor. You've done so many different, you've diversified your strategy with real estate, with flipping and, you know, and buying and land development, and building, you know, so many things. I'd love to kind of, dive a little bit into, you picked Memphis. What I'm just kind of curious in terms of your criteria, we try to be as extremely tangible as we can for this show and for listeners to take action. So a lot of people, like you're saying, you know, LA and, you know, New York City, it's really hard to find some cash flowing properties and where the numbers make sense. And a lot of people are hesitant to do out of state. My first property was sight unseen. So I have still never been to the property, right? So how did you pick Memphis, and what is your criteria for this is a great market to invest in?
Right. You know, I think it was a lot of research. You know, there's so many resources out there for people online that they can research where people are getting better returns. And you have to do your market research, right? You have to learn about what that market's about. You know, Memphis happens to be a renter's market. A lot of people rent there, not as many people buy, and the returns are good. But I think what's more important is that you have to learn who you are as an investor. And I'm gonna dive into this, because I think people don't realize, like, you've got to go and do something and see if it's right for you. And then if it's not, change it, you know? And I think so many people kind of get stuck in not going to do something, right? They're like, I don't know if it's going to be right for me, you know, but well, okay, you can change it afterwards. And I'm going to give you an example of that. I went into Memphis, and the first house I bought there was, if you're familiar, anybody out there is familiar with class of properties, you know, A class, B class, C class of properties, right? A is like shopping at Nordstrom's, B is probably Target, C is probably Walmart. And then there's D class, which is maybe the 99-cent store, right?
The dollar store, yes.
The dollar store, you got it. And I went in and I saw these returns on this property, and it was like C minus, right? And, but the returns were great. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get me one of those. And that was the first property I bought. And then the second property I bought was like, I would say like a B minus, all right? And I just noticed within the first year how much more, even though I had hired property manager, how much more work it was to manage the C-class property. There was a lot more late payments. People that are in the C-class property are, sometimes struggling with employment or different matters, And I realized at that time for me, I was already flipping my, I had a job, right? Mm-hmm. Creating the capital was my job. I wanted my passive to be so much more easy and steady. And I realized mm-hmm. for me, B plus, properties were, much better suited for what I wanted now. Right. And that's just saying that's what's for me. I met a guy who had all these C and D properties, and he would go around and he'd collect the rent himself. And he'd talk to them all every month, and he got to know them. And I'm like, okay, that's not me. That's him. Mm-hmm. And that's his model. And that's what he loved it. Right. So I think what I think is important is, for anybody listening out there, you've got to find what's right for you, and you've got to find that fit, and it might take, doing one and then doing a second and then realizing you need to adjust, mm-hmm. I think that's really important, but do it, get out there, do it, get into action, people.
Right. No, I think that's such a good point that you bring up, that we're not like stuck, right? So like, if it's not working for us, I'm a big believer of trial and error. Try it out, put your whole heart into it. If it's not for you, if it doesn't fit your skill set, move on to a different strategy. So I love that you made that point, and kind of circling back to, the car crash and such a impactful, experience in your life. What was it for you that said, I'm going to move past this and I'm going to overcome this?
Yeah. I think it was a combination of a lot of things. First of all, it was, the support of my family. I had a lot of support. My brother came out and actually took care of me. And I honestly, it was definitely a low time in my life. And, I think we all have a choice of what we're going to make things to mean, right? So it could mean that this horrible thing happened to me and I'll never recover, or it could mean that this was a valuable lesson about how valuable and life is and how mm-hmm. much more vibrant it could be. I think at that point I realized I don't want to live in fear, and I want to live, vibrantly, and I want to honor each day I'm above earth. Mm-hmm. So right. It's like, how can I do that to the best of my abilities, and that means getting out of my own way, getting out of my comfort zone. I started doing a lot of Tony Robbins events, and I actually mm-hmm. work for him now.
Really?
I'm one of his trainers. Yeah. I have to say, but there's a choice to change. Right. Uh-huh. You have to make that choice, and then follow through with it. And it's not always going to be roses. Some of it's going to be like, oh, look at what I'm doing to block myself or sabotage myself, or how am I going to deal with this situation? Right. And understanding that these are all choices, and that you can look at things and go, all right, what am I going to learn from this, and pick up and move on, I'm a big, believer in self-development, obviously, right. And when you're surrounding yourself with other believers, it's a good network to have, because you have those people that you can go, am I off here? And they'll go, hey, yeah, I was thinking this, and give you some perspective. So, so that's how I, chose to do things. And that's how, I think we're all on a journey of learning, but it's what we do with it, that really matters to me.
Definitely. And you brought up a really great point that it's up to us, right? We have that choice. And one of my favorite quotes, I think it's from Jamie Foxx. I think John sent it to me when I was like a couple of years back. I was in sales development and cold calling. So like the fear of, going on the phone, and Jamie Foxx who said, there's nothing on the other side of fear. right? So absolutely. There's nothing. And I think that quote was so powerful for me, especially at that time when I had graduated school and first job, and you know, you're so nervous and whatnot. And I think that's just such a great thing to live by.
Well, and Claire, you know, it's like a muscle. Like once you kind of overcome one little, you know, one fear, then you're like, oh, I can do this. And, you know, and then you exercise that muscle again. I felt that way when I was buying my first, you know, single family homes in Memphis. I didn't realize that I could do it. Like I still was like admiring those that had single families. And finally somebody was like, Deborah, I've seen you educate. When are you going to have your first rent or cash flow check in your hand? And he made me commit. And that commitment made me just do it. And then after the first time I did it, I bought like four more in the next 18 months, right? Because it was like, oh, this isn't as complex or as hard as I was making it out to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another thing that I did. And you know, I don't know if this is for everybody, but after the first two, I started hiring different property managers on each of my properties. Why? Because I had to learn about different property managers. I didn't know anything about it. And I thought, well, what's a better way to learn than by experiencing how everybody manages differently and how everybody's system's different, everybody's contracts are different, right? And I thought, okay, I'm going to learn this. Let's go. Let's learn it. And then figure out what style, what's best for you. What, you know, it's like figuring out what class of properties for you, what management style is best for you, you know, trying it, self-correcting, trying something else.
Right. That is so interesting. I always know that, you know, people have, you know, their list of questions that they'll interview their property managers, but that's so interesting. I've never heard of someone actually going through with, we're going to work with however many property managers. And from that, we're going to learn what are the best systems and processes, right? Yeah. So from that experience, because I've never heard that before, of hiring all different property managers. I'm always someone who like, I'm always like that dedicated. I want that dedicated partnership, obviously like have some backups, but just like that loyalty. But it's what did you learn from that experience of hiring the different property managers? And then did you ultimately go with one in that market?
Yes, I did ultimately go with one, but it was a number of years later and I learned a ton. And I didn't, you know, like there was a point at which I think I had six properties and four different property managers, right? Oh. I mean, it was a little crazy at that point. And I was like, okay, I need to talk through this, but I was learning so much. They all handle their contracts differently. Some of them, you know, depending on what their pricing is for lease up, what, you know, how they market the properties, they all marketed the properties differently, right? So I was learning all about the marketing of the properties because I was learning from them, you know, how they do rent readies. They all do rent readies differently, you know, when they're charging you, when they're not. And also I was learning I could negotiate with them, which is just a whole learning in itself, right?
Right.
There was a time when I had a property manager tell me something about a property and I went to another property manager and I said, what would you do if blah, 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 blah? And he gave me his solutions, which were different than the property manager who was managing the property. And I thought, okay, see, this is why I like these resources, right? And then I found the property manager who I felt matched my style as well as my properties the best. And that's who's managing my properties now, right?
Okay.
But I needed to learn what I wanted. And I had no idea at the time.
Sure.
You know? So that's how I did it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting because a lot of people are like, they're really great on paper, but once they're actually put to work, that's when you see their true colors. So I think that's really interesting that it's like, you went through the different interviews, you put them in place, you learned what you liked, what you didn't like. And then from there, you went with the one that ultimately worked best for you. So right. I think that's a really cool hands-on strategy.
And it's just like any business. Some of the businesses, the property manager's business, are amazing at lease up and not great at maintenance, or amazing at maintenance and not great at lease up, or, you know, just amazing at certain areas and not great at others. And, you know, you have to kind of decide, you know, how you want to handle both of those things. They're very important, you know?
Right. No, definitely. As we're kind of winding down here, I'd love to learn about all the things that you, I know you mentioned them at the beginning, but just to kind of, we love to promote other things that if we can just recap what people can get involved with and then how people can best connect with you.
Absolutely. I am actually involved in a couple different education programs as well as coaching. I do coaching, and you can find out all about that at deborahrazo.com, deborahrazo.com. And then if you are a woman out there and you're looking to, you know, connect with other women who are investing, then I would highly suggest you come to one of our events. Our website for the Women's Real Estate Network is Wren Inspires, W-R-E-N-Inspires.com. Join us at one of our events. We have a free event every month where one of our members promotes a case study. I mean, we're not only into connecting with each other, but we're also into fostering leadership in women. And for any woman out there that's gone to any real estate clubs, you know that there's always men at the front of the room. So we only have women at the front of the room, and we want to promote our members and give them opportunities to give us their case studies and, you know, present to us. And we do that at our monthly power hours. And it's really fascinating because we get to see all kinds of different projects. So so join us, go to wreninspires.com and take a look at our calendar, and you can connect up with us there.
Wonderful. So many incredible things. Women unite, right?
Yeah,
definitely. Girl boss.
Girls rules. Yeah. Girls rule, man.
Girls rule the world. Well, any closing thoughts before we tie off?
You know what? I think that what I just want to say is that I think a lot of people think about doing real estate and don't get into action. And I just want to say, all you have to do is take one step and then take another step and then take another step. Get into action and start moving towards your goals, and you know, keep the faith, people. Keep the faith.
Love it. I love the motivation. Very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Just take a step and take another step and another step. I love that. Well, Deborah, such a pleasure. So happy.
Thank you so much for having me, Claire. It's been really nice getting to know you.
Yay. Well, we'll definitely keep in touch. All right.
Thank you. I'd like that.
Thank you, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.